Hey everyone, welcome to a very special episode of the Strategic Growth Podcast. We're going to do a best of from our guest in the first half of 2023. So we're going to hear from clips from all the guests that we had between January and June of 2023, some of their best advice and most interesting quotes they gave us. Hopefully it will refresh your memory if you heard it the first time, or if you want to go and find that episode on all your favorite podcast platforms or YouTube and listen to it for the first time or listen to it again. So the order you're going to hear today on the podcast, the expert advice that we got from our expert guest are, in order, Kit Letcher, the president and CEO of the BBB, Alex Ruther, co-founder of Jack B Grocery, drive-through grocery store, an interesting conversation we have with him, a business plan triage with Zacharias Vulgaris, answering specific questions about his startup, a problem that he had we helped him address, Wong Lam from CMM Financial, Elizabeth Larios from G-Beta, a part of the Generator Accelerator, Chris Ward, best-selling author, Win the Hour, Win the Day, Chris Ward, Hannah Schmidt from the Treasury OKC. We talk about co-working and supporting women-owned businesses. A clip from my presentation at the Treasury OKC, how to write a strategic plan, get right to the meat of that conversation. And then finally, hiring veterans with Chad Watts from Scars and Stripes Coffee and my guy, Major Ed Polito from the Heart of a Lion Foundation that he co-founded with professional golfer John Daly. So those are the episodes that we're going to pull clips from today in that order. Check them out. Refresh your memory if you've heard it. If you haven't heard that episode, but something sounds interesting, go find the full episode from the first half of 2023 on your favorite podcast platform. Enjoy.
Some years need to be like a growth year, and some years need to be a stability year.
True.
How do we keep the ball rolling and moving forward, but maybe not at a breakneck pace? I'm not saying that right. You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. And you are right in that you can't always keep that 2X, 3X, 5X pace. Mm-hmm. You'll burn everyone out.
Yeah.
But you also can't get to a certain level of success and go on cruise control and never accelerate again, right? You have to do both at certain times.
You have to do
both.
You've got to have some peaks and some valleys and figure out, okay, this is a good spot for us. And figure out what's a baseline even.
Right.
Because sometimes your baseline changes. Once you've had a good growth spurt and you've been able to maintain it, and now this is our new base. Okay, how do we next?
What's that reality look like moving forward from there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we pick a focus for the year. So like for BBB, our year focus in 2023 is going to be retention. Really digging into how do we best serve our businesses that are accredited with us, people who are looking to connect with other business owners, and really provide the best level of retention for our accredited businesses so they understand I'm getting the most out of the value for my BBB accreditation.
Right. And the most value for BBB is retaining the customers that they have now, right?
Absolutely. And that all stemmed from a conversation with our team. Mm-hmm. It's not me setting the tone, right? We asked the question, what would need to be true for our BBB to be seen as the premier connector and resource to business?
That's a great question.
Started the question with the team.
Great question.
And said, how would you answer this? And said, and I said, I'm not answering it because I'm sitting in a different seat than you guys.
Yes.
You all work with businesses differently than I do. I want to see what your perspective is. So I started with the team and we did a full day long brainstorming. And so they came back with several ideas because really, if we're doing a good job connecting and being resourced to business, then we're going to get higher retention.
Right. So yeah, the more value you provide, the easier it is to retain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Alex, tell the folks listening, because obviously most people don't know, what Jack B is.
Yeah, so Jack B is a curbside drive-through grocer. We really intended to be the first of its kind where nobody goes inside our store. Everything is just filtered on demand. You come and pick it up whenever you want it.
Right. So I think everyone is, through the last few years, right, changed their idea of drive up or drive through, of curbside delivery, of pre-ordering on an app, whether it's for food or anything else that someone might have brought out to your car curbside. Target's doing it. Fast food's doing it. Everyone's doing it.
Yep.
So now you have taken this and put it into the grocery store format, right?
That's exactly right. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. Our idea came long before COVID.
Okay.
So yes, the market was moving in this direction and we saw that and we saw an opportunity there. And then when COVID happened, it kind of fast tracked everybody's, you know, transformation on, wow, now I need an option to not have to go in the store. And it just really helped kind of catapult our idea from where it was to where we are now.
Because you essentially didn't have to do any of the execution or the education piece. Like, everyone already knows how to do this, right?
Yes, that's correct. But there are some things that we do have to educate people on, because here's the thing that we noticed. All existing grocery companies are built around a business model for people to come inside their store.
Right.
Now, they offer online options, right? I mean, you can go anywhere. Like, any grocery store does that. However, the service that's provided for that like subset of their business is not designed for it. And so we've kind of reset the playing field, if you will, and said, what if we built a concept that only had one purpose, which was to fulfill online orders? What would that look like?
That to be very specific, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm wondering how is it possible to build a team even though we don't have funding yet? And it's like the chicken and egg problem, isn't it? Because I don't think it's easy to get funding if you don't have some team to show first and a clear business plan. But we do have the business plan and a clear strategy of how to proceed, but we don't have the team yet. So how can we get into that level where we do have a functional team and we're ready to go to in front of an investor and say to them, oh, this is who we are and this is what we plan to do?
I think you've off to a good start by having the marketing role filled by someone that's in an advisory role. And advisory roles are a great way to build those early teams where you don't have a lot of funding to just straight up hire people. You need people in place, but they're not necessarily working a 40-hour week and collecting a regular paycheck, right? So advisory roles are great ways to do that. Third-party vendors are also great ways to do that. Having a relationship with a third party, whether, you know, in this case, maybe it's a developer or a team of developers or marketing team or someone for your accounting, bookkeeping, HR, et cetera. Maybe just having made the contact and deciding who you would work with when you have funding, so that when someone says to you, yes, we like what you're doing, we'll write you a check today, you could the next day start working because you sort of have everyone lined out. But in a third party situation where you're hiring a firm or a freelancer, they're not on the clock until you need them to be. So I think reaching out and building relationships with those vendors, third party, and maybe even individuals who'd come in when needed on a freelance basis, et cetera, and having that list of people that you could say, once we receive funding, here's the team we would put together.
Let's talk about this career change that just happened. You transitioned out of oil and gas, and now you're in the financial services area. So tell us about CMM Financial, what it is they do and what you do there.
Yes, so I appreciate the question. And a lot of my mindset has come from just honestly surrounding myself with awesome human beings.
That makes sense.
And I'm not saying this because I'm here, but your podcast is awesome because Saturday Morning Hustle is that's in my wheelhouse. And I wake up and I love listening to that.
You're a hustler, you're a grinder. Both you and your wife are hustlers.
Yeah, Margie's awesome. And so the transition, I was in oil and gas at Chesapeake Energy for about 16 years, 8 months.
Okay.
And mutually left the company. And then I became an investor in CMM Financial Services.
Right.
And Josh and Scotty were talking to me about, hey, why don't you become the CEO?
That makes sense.
And so now I am the CEO of CMM Financial Services. We do tax prep, bookkeeping, payroll. We want to get into the community and help educate our community. And don't be afraid of taxes or accountants or the IRS. Let us help you.
They can become assets, right? This is all something that you should be using for your business benefit, not something you're afraid of in your business.
That's exactly right. So how can we help you grow your financial portfolio, small business domination? Go just dominate your life. Go dominate your finances.
So is that the main audience for CMM Financial, small businesses?
Small businesses, individuals. You don't have to have an S-corporate LLC. If you're wanting some personal education on your finances, come on in. I mean, it's not exclusive of anyone.
So obviously everyone knows right now we have a lot of inflation. There's a lot of costs going up. There's a lot of concern about our personal and business finances, right? It costs more to do these things. So anytime you can find a way to save some money or maybe even make a little bit of money by doing your books a little bit different and filing your taxes in a better way, right? Those are always good, smart things to do. And if you have a little bit of money, if you're going to invest it somewhere, you want to be smart about that as well, right?
That's exactly right.
I have gathered knowledge. I have gathered resources. I've, most importantly, connections and the people that work in each one of those different industries. I can now use each one of them to help the founders in whatever way that might be. I mean, because those are very different backgrounds, I'm able to kind of call somebody up and say, hey, you work in this field. Do you know anybody that, you know, or you yourself, can you do this? Or do you know someone? And so being able to pick from that wide variety of things has been extremely helpful in doing what I'm doing now.
And it's presented you a series of opportunities kind of back to back to back that you've continued to be able to do more and more and increase your reach in the community as well.
For sure. And definitely not stopping, not being just because you're out of that field doesn't mean you should be disconnected from it again. I think even now moving into this role, it's so interesting because everybody's circle always gets smaller. Like, that's the same circle. You see the same people at different events. And it's the same way in every field. But I have had the privilege of being in so many different fields that I have been in all of those rooms often enough to where I can then go back into them and say, oh yeah, so-and-so, or oh, it's still this organization, but it's a new person. Let me go meet that person. So yeah, all of it together has been really, really helpful and beneficial because I think naturally we as humans tend to like make our worlds really small on purpose and probably for our benefit. But it's really important to get out there and meet other circles.
So I started as a marketing strategist like almost 14 years ago. And the first couple of years I was in business, I worked insane hours, you know, and it was about the 2 year mark that I was told that I was losing some of my charm because I hadn't slept in two years. As my husband said, he said, you're always stealing from sleep, getting up earlier and earlier and staying later and later, right? And so I realized that the people that were supporting me most and cheering me on and doing all this stuff, like I started to become short with them. And I thought this cannot be. So I literally went from working 16 hours a day down to six. Now, this did not happen overnight. This is a whole story on its own. But as I move this story forward, luckily I did that because it was a couple of years after that that my husband had been diagnosed with colon cancer and I was pulled away from the business for about 2 years. And when I returned after his passing, my existing clients had no idea of my absence. And they kept saying, like, "How we don't understand. How could you have been away?" They just didn't know. And so we were very positive in nature. It's a private matter. It's just not something we talked a lot about. And then they started to ask me, you know, if I could help, if I could do that, if I could be away and they didn't know, then maybe I could help them get to their kids' soccer games and things like that. So I started working with them under that capacity. And I started realizing that a lot of people, you know, were in business that looked good on paper and they're online, they're doing all the right things. And they've been in business like 5-10 years, but they're still working way too many hours for this point of their journey. And so that's when I also realized these people were very isolated. So I wrote the book and then we start with the winner's circle. One thing led to another. And that's how it all unfolded.
You had an obviously unfortunate tragedy in your life, but you took that setback as an opportunity for you to advance yourself and then help other people along the way.
Well, that's very generous of you. I don't even know if I took it as an opportunity. It was just, you know, yeah, I did want to help other people. And I was very thankful for my situation. I mean, the grounds of that, if I had come back to that business and it had dissolved, that was not the time for me to be whipping up a resume, looking for a job, trying to be charming in a job interview, and then learn something new.
So I did some writing here and there, but in 2018, opened the Treasury. So I saw, you know, I was working a remote job at the time and saw women having more flexibility than ever. In how and when and where they worked. I saw remote work, you know, really on the up and up, especially for women.
You said 2018, so that was pre-COVID.
Yes,
that pre-COVID. Remote work was happening. Mm-hmm. Obviously, leaps and bounds difference.
Yes,
post-COVID.
Yes, it's very different post-COVID, but just a lot of freelance, a lot of women taking on freelance and contract work. But then there were really no local resources in place for what those women needed. So, you know, at the time, I really thought that because what I needed at that time was physical space and community. But then when we opened, I realized women really needed education and programming too. You know, if you work corporate, you have a boss who plans learning opportunities for you and is often telling you, hey, go to this training, go to this lunch and learn, you know, get this education. And when you're working for yourself or you're remote, you have to find that on your own. So having a little bit of structure around you to and someone offering you those opportunities to learn could make a big difference. So that was one of the first things that we started doing whenever we opened the co-working space, was really bringing in local speakers who could really share their expertise in areas that would help women kind of level up who are in those remote jobs or who are entrepreneurs.
So you identified a gap mm-hmm. in the market, mm-hmm. a niche that you could fill, mm-hmm. Solving a problem. These are all the good reasons to start a business, right?
Yes.
Before starting the Treasury, was co-working or community building really a passion of yours, or something you fell into in this process?
Co-working was not necessarily. I fell into that.
It's very common for startups and small businesses to feel like they don't need to go through the full process of writing a business plan. It's an opportunity though for you to really dive into the backside of your business. Now, of those two of you who have a business plan, do you also have a separate written strategic plan?
Yeah.
Your strategic plan, your strategy is a part of a business plan, but it's not the whole of a business plan. And there are things that you can do much more specific to the action of creating and repeating sales and income generation that is based on strategy that does have nothing to do with the overall business plan. A lot of the elements in a business plan are, of course, the mission of the organization, but things like organizational structure, funding resources, budget, all kinds of things that are outside of strategy. Strategy is in the business plan, but you still should have a separate strategic plan. So that's what we'll talk about today, is what's in the strategic plan, why it's important. When you write a business plan, often it's write a business plan, put everything together, and you start working, and it's not intended for you to every 3-6 months to go back to your business plan and make major changes, unless you have a pivot in your organization. But a strategic plan is absolutely intended to be updated and adjusted and changed on a very regular basis. And so that's our conversation today, is you got to have a strategic plan, and you have to be continually utilizing it, interacting with it, and adjusting it as you go forward, because the world is going to push back on you. Competition is going to push back on you. Things you thought would work won't. Things you thought wouldn't work will, etc. And the point of being strategic, having a strategy, is to marshal all of the things that can help you be successful and utilize it at your best advantage, while trying to stay away from things that will make you, bless you, less successful. I ask about business plans. Who has, whether you have a business plan or not, who has a written strategic plan?
Yeah, so our goal is to help veterans become entrepreneurs. We feel like veterans are the most suited to become entrepreneurs. If you think about their service, they go in scared to death. They break them down. They build them back up. And now they'll take on a machine gun hill, you know, and without a problem. They're with their brother and sister, afraid of nothing. You know, you give them the mission, the assets, and failure is not an option.
There you go.
Let's just put that into a civilian sales force and a civilian entrepreneur. You're gonna succeed. So our whole goal is, how do we build a program that we can plug you into, and if you just follow the steps, we'll make you a millionaire in 5 years, or you make yourself a millionaire in 5 years. And literally, we'll get into it more, but I promise you the numbers are there and we can do it. And so that's the whole thing, is giving them the resources to be able to do that.
And not just resources, not just economics, but also teamwork and camaraderie and a sense of belonging that military men and women have when they're in the service and then miss when they leave.
You know, Kyle, I talk about this camaraderie that's missed, and you think about someone that, you know, loses a limb. It's a phantom kind of limb, and Ed can talk about this, but you remember the occasion. Oh, I don't have that anymore, and there's a sensation that happens, and I think the same thing happens with camaraderie. There's no science to back this up, but when I see veterans get around one another, they light up and they just feel good around each other, and that's what we're trying to do. Is like, yeah, there is a rank structure. There's ability to make money, but the whole latent byproduct of this is like, how, what else in your life's getting better? And are you have a better relationship with your kids, your spouse, your coworkers? That's what it's about. Right. And then you fire that warrior inside back up, and remember, you're a lion. I mean, you're a warrior. I mean, that's what you did. Don't just sit on the couch anymore. It's just halftime. Now we're going into the other half of your life after your military service. And that's what the whole thing's about.
And there's a lot of that conversation that has to be veteran to veteran. Speak on that, Ed. Let people understand, if for the non-veterans, let them understand what the value of that for the people who are working for Scars and Stripes or anyone who works in a veteran-centric system.
Well, I think the most interesting thing that I'm finding out, and I want to give kudos to a gentleman by the name of Kenny Novotny, but also want to give kudos to Chad. What we need to do that's better in America is educate our civilian family about what our needs are. And I think what you're bringing up is exactly right. As I always talk about, mental health and physical health is probably number one, making sure that you have the connections to make sure that you have a healthy life, and physically and mentally, that, you know, mentally you're not in the hospital and you're not going through episodes of PTSD and of negativity in your life. And that's how I live my life. And that's what I tell all veterans, man, get it together. Let's empower one another, because that's a very strong word. The second thing is, when you look at the dynamics, there are two areas of focus that are very important. That is employment and housing. And employment is exactly what we're talking about here.
Thank you for listening to the Golden Group Strategic Growth Podcast. Please subscribe so you never miss an episode. Follow the Golden Group on social media. For more information, past episodes, or to contact us, please visit thegoldengroup.com.